part of the theme for the whole thing is that this idea of a relationship with money, what I hear over and over again from people is, boy, I never thought about a relationship with money. Mm-hmm. And yet it really is a relationship with money. In fact, as we know in the Bible, it talks about, you know, the roots of all kinds of evil is the love of money. Well, love is a relationship term, not an accounting term when it comes to money. And so this love of money and the things that come out of that, and what we've discovered in working with millions of people across the country, is that if you can start with the heart, it really helps the habits and the other things. And if you start with the habits and you don't start with the heart, it becomes a real challenge to change your behaviors, to put into practice some of the healthy relationship with money behaviors you want.
Are we honest, I mean, with ourselves or maybe with our spouse, our families, when we talk about money?
Well, actually, that's one of the biggest problems. We actually don't talk about money. I remember a story one time was my dad and I were working on the basement of our house. He was helping me remodel it. Our kids were little, and I think he wanted to have this conversation with me about money, and I was expecting you shouldn't be expanding and doing all this. And it was a conversation about him and his money, and he had never shared really his journey with money, because it was just something he didn't want to talk about. And I think the observation I would make around a lot of people, couples, families, small groups, money is an off the list topic to talk about. And so part of why we wanted to create this conversation about our relationship with money, it's so much easier to talk about our relationship with money to some degree than our balance sheet or our checking account, or because that's we can talk about bad mistakes we made about buying cars and laugh about it. It's a little harder to talk about our bank account.
Yeah. But that was certainly, I mean, that probably not so much the case today, but certainly the generation of our parents, I mean, there was never any conversation about that with the kids, certainly.
Yeah. And I think we're getting better at it. Well, I'd still say money is just one of those topics that's still very difficult. And, you know, that kind of when I speak, one of the jokes I usually use is, you know, when I was growing up, at dinner, polite dinner conversation didn't include religion, sex, money, and politics. And now the only one that's still off the table is money.
That's true. We're talking money today, but about creating a healthy relationship with money. Brad Heard is my guest. Brad's president and CEO of Thrivent Financial, and he's co-authored this great book, Your New Money Mindset. You mentioned, Brad, about talking about this issue, and you know, one of the steps that you experienced in terms of growing was getting married and having to suddenly combine resources and talk about this. I mean, I think all of us probably in our marriages know that money conversation is still one of the tension points. So how do we talk with our spouse and work through differing backgrounds, histories, viewpoints?
Well, one way is to actually recognize that we actually do have relationships with money, that we have experiences and cultures and family systems that we have. These come with us into a marriage. And now more and more with young folks, student debt and other things come with into that relationship. When Sue and I got married, I remember some of the conversations we had was specifically, you know, how do we think about giving to church? I mean, when we got married, interest rates were over 18%, trying to figure out how could we ever afford a house. And, you know, and so spending time actually talking about a budget and how we're going to spend. I think part of the reason that conversation can be difficult is sometimes people have very different emotional relationships with money. And it's actually pulling that out is what are some of those emotional relationships. And luckily for Sue and I, we actually had very similar backgrounds and parents and beliefs and behaviors. And so that really wasn't that hard of a conversation. But I have other friends where it was the issue that really caused the relationship to have strain early on in their relationships.
You talk about there's, I think, five S's or five S attitudes toward money. Let's just say a bit more about that, and we can kind of find our place maybe in this continuum.
Yeah, one of the things is, again, we've worked with millions of people, is we started to find that there were really simply some ways to categorize, and these aren't perfect categorizations, but you think you'll get the notion of it, is the relationship people had with money was either they had no relationship because they literally were surviving from day to day, and so they had no money, no relationship. And then they had a what I would describe as a really unhealthy relationship with money, and it was stressful and it created all kinds of issues in their life, and we call that group struggling, tended to live paycheck to paycheck and all kinds of bad, you know, emotional, very high tension when it came to money. And then the next one up was stable. We called it, you know, that they had kind of worked out some of the tension. The irony of that one is, as we kind of observed, is they were kind of one bad thing away from moving back to struggling. And then secure, which was they had kind of worked through a lot of that. They had figured out how to manage their budget and everything. But they didn't. They still didn't feel like they had what I would call an abundant mindset. It was money was still a real issue for them, but they had enough, but really couldn't share. And then there was surplus, and this was a really interesting relationship with money. Whereas they actually had a sense of contentment, they had a sense of abundance. Their mindset was very much of I'm going to be fine, and I trust God for my provision, and if I see somebody else in need, I'm ready to share. And that was what we observed with the people that had really healthy relationships with money.
And this continuum from surviving to stable to surplus isn't based on actual income, right? Or the finances that you have.
No, in fact, that was actually the biggest surprise as we started to work with this. Now I would say that, you know, if you had modest income, it became a lot harder to be in the surplus or secure mindset. It took either years or time or whatever. But what was fascinating is their mindset and their behaviors determined where they were on the continuum much more than their income or their balance sheet or their budget or any of the financial things that you'd normally go to measure. And so what we discovered is that the relationship with money actually mattered more than the amount of money. And it's not real surprising because often beliefs actually create behaviors. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of what they believed about money that drove the behavior.
I think all of us, I mean, certainly as Christ followers, want to get to that place of the surplus mentality because that's really at the heart of the gospel, right? It's right. Generosity.
Absolutely. Right? And that's where generosity fit into this because that was part of your question is how do those two connect? And as we looked at this, there were two pieces that actually drove people to actually move up in terms of mindset. And one was gratitude and one was generosity. And I especially think generosity is this really fascinating thing because we described it in the book and what we see in people's life is that generosity is both the prescription and the outcome of somebody who's in surplus. And so oftentimes people think, well, if I'm going to move from one category to the next, I need to get more income and then I'll be generous. And what the reality was is just the opposite. If you became generous, it became easier to move up to the category because you actually learn to be content, you learn to live within your means, you learn to live in a completely different way. And so actually generosity was a tool to use to move up instead of what most people think is, well, if I just got 25% more, then I would be able to be generous. And it doesn't work that way.
Because I know you've even done study or they've done studies of those that are incredibly rich, and they want 25% more too.
Right. So, we all do. And what ends up happening is that as soon as you get 25% more, you just change your lifestyle, and the lifestyle changes much more than your behaviors or habits. And so it really does get to what your mindset is around how you manage money. And that's true, again, as you think about a spouse, that's true as you're thinking about your kids. And it's that how do you cultivate that mindset that's really more important. And part of it, as Christians, we also believe that everything we have is a gift from God. And so it's not our money anyway. The only thing we own is our mindset towards money. He owns all the money.
Yeah.